Dropout Podcasts.
Greetings, travelers, and welcome to Tales from the Closet, the only podcast where we discuss gender and sexuality and our time spent deeply alone in the closet. Or not. Maybe you were never in a closet. Maybe you're still in the closet. Either way, thank you for watching. If you're listening to this as a podcast, know that there is also a video component, and you too can know how many candles I'm holding at the top of each episode. I'll give you a hint. It's the number of episode that it is. Let's hope for 100 episodes. I'm really excited. Today we have three amazing guests. And you know what? Enough about me. Well, you know what? No. This isn't a very political podcast, but today, I feel like it needs to be noted, is the first day that the trans ban is in effect in the United States of America. So, you know, that's just kind of looming, and I thought I should mention it. Okay, let's...
Right.
This turns into a political roundtable.
Yeah.
What fucked up shit is your country not shielding you from? No, let's just give out a big hug to all of our trans brothers and sisters. And a big fuck you to Donald Trump, who is clearly afraid or distrustful of any sort of femininity. Seek help. Okay, great. Yes. Yeah, let's hop right in. Who are you? What kind of stuff do you do around town? How do you identify? And what did you listen to on your way in here, into work?
Hey, I'm Oscar Montoya. I'm a comedian. My pronouns are he, him. My social media handle is at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O. On Instagram and Twitter, so follow me if you want to. And what was I listening to before I got here? Well, the last song that I remember playing on my... I listened to a lot of, like, 70s soul, so there's a band called The Three Degrees that I was listening to. They're great. They have a song called Dirty Old Man, which is one of my favorite songs ever of all time.
Listen to it.
It's fantastic. It's about just a creep creeping on these girls, and they're like, you're a dirty old man. Get away from here.
Oh, okay, okay, from their point of view.
Yeah, no.
I'm a dirty old man.
Like, that's well, at least he owns it, I guess. No, but it's from the female's perspective of just like, back away. You're a dirty old man. Yeah.
Into that.
Hi,
I'm Anna Rajo. I am also a comedian. My Instagram is... at Anna, A-N-N-A dot Rajo, R-A-J-O. It is on private, but I will accept your request. So I'll just tell you that right now.
That's a
Don't
big
be
claim.
Deterred. Don't be deterred. You can find me at UCB. I take a ceramics class on Mondays.
Oh,
so
you know,
maybe you'll find me there.
Oh.
And I was listening to Lizzo on the
Yeah. How do you identify? What are your pronouns?
Oh, my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I identify as queer.
Cool.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Sarah Golub. She, her, I identify as asexual and aromantic. Both.
Cool.
Yeah, twofer. you can see me at the Ruby LA. And my sketch team is the Burbs. We're the first Saturday of every month, but we do keep moving randomly.
Oh, we have that same problem. Yeah. Where it's like
we're sometimes this week, sometimes who knows.
I also have a fictional audio drama that's a comedy mystery called Arden. That's about two women trying to solve a case if they can stop flirting with each other.
Subscribe.
Yeah. What else was I supposed to?
What you were listening to, and on your way in here.
Oh yeah, I put on classical music because the traffic on Hollywood was stressing me out.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
I have no idea what it was, but it helped.
I always make the mistake of putting on jazz when I'm stressed. I'm like, oh good, the jazz station. But then it's like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, the weird thing about jazz.
What's the next note going to be?
Yeah. The weird thing about jazz is like it surprises you. Like, okay, this is the chill section, and then all of a sudden it picks up. Yeah.
And you don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, why am I so? Why am I holding the steering wheel like this? Oh, jazz. Yeah. Great. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, our first section of this podcast is actual tales from the closet. Moments when you were like, oh, wow. I'll introduce myself. Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry. My name is Allie. I am non-binary. I identify as mostly into women. And on the way in today, I was listening to the news, which explains my outburst. Yeah, okay, you know, I am sorry to ruin Thanksgiving for everybody, but it had to be said. Great. Okay, yeah. So, Tales from the Closet. I've told some stories on here. One time in Christian college, I was praying, dear God, please make me not gay. And the one girl I had a huge crush on came up behind me and started massaging my back during that prayer and praying for me, which was just her whispering into my ear. So that was funny.
her intention fully was to save you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, oh my gosh, Allie's crying. Like, let me go pray with Allie. Yeah. No idea what's in my mind, right. Which is like, dear God. Yeah.
You're like, okay, God just sent me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I got you and you got me. Yeah.
That was a message from God.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
He was like, hey, chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. It's fine. Yeah. But you guys, any.
I have a memory of writing. I had a journal growing up that was like those classic composition notebooks. I was obsessed with anything that I thought was like traditionally American growing up, like yellow school buses and composition. Because I grew up a few years abroad and then moved here.
Gosh.
So I was like obsessed with anything American. So I had this composition journal.
I love that the first thing you say is a yellow school bus.
Yes. My dream was to be drinking chocolate milk out of a carton on a yellow school bus, wearing a backwards baseball cap with red Converse and like writing in a journal, because I grew up and my dad was from El Salvador and I just had this sort of like lost identity of like being American, but like never having lived in America or the United States. So then when I moved here, I was like, I gotta catch up.
Oh my God. You're like throwing a football.
Yeah. I was like, what happened? So that was a long segue to say I was writing in my journal.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I'm gay. And that just seems so obvious. Yeah. It was like so clear, so obvious. But then I felt like it wasn't until college that I really came to terms with my sexuality. But I'm like, I literally had the most like clearest question as a child and didn't kind of come out really until college. So
yeah, I feel like that happens. It's something perks like early on and you're like, ooh, I'll deal with that in 2 decades.
Or I think like you just have this thing where you're like, I'm different. But you can't quite categorize it yet because, like, the idea of being, like, queer or other, it's not really fully formed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
You know, until you have that, the context of, like, oh, okay, this is what I'm into. I'm into this specifically. But as a kid, you're like, I'm just different.
Yeah.
I'm just weird.
And definitely, like, moving to the U.S., I was 9 when I moved here. I definitely was always, like, trying to look at my peers for social cues as to what was cool and what was normal, because I missed out on a lot of like formative American pop culture and stuff. So when I went to an all-girls middle school, and there were, you know, in 2006 or whatever, I don't know, like it was like weird to be a lesbian, especially at an all-girls school, you know, and everyone's like, oh, like I'd be like, oh yeah, I go to an all-girls school. I was like, well, are you a lesbian? I was like, no. Like, you know, so I just was like, oh, it's weird. Like, if you go to an all-girls school, you can't be a lesbian.
Yeah.
So I like.
That's like when you're at a sleepover. You're like, I cannot, a pool party?
Yeah,
I can't tell anyone I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
It will scare them.
So it wasn't until college when I went and I saw this cool queer community. And I was like, oh, it's like cool to be queer. Okay, I can like come out as queer now.
Yeah, totally. I had a similar thing as a kid, because I feel like with like feeling more like masculine or not really knowing my gender, there was like a word for it, which was like tomboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that like took care of you as a kid, but then it's like that goes away. Like, where did Tomboy go? Yeah. Like, you're like, wait, no, now
there
I'm trans?
There are no adult Tomboy. Like,
yeah.
What happened?
No one's
you're
like,
totally
that
right.
senator is a total Tomboy. Yeah. In your journal, did you think being gay was American? Or were you like, no that's not American?
I think I just was like, I think I'm gay. And I was like, I don't know. But well, so I'm queer and I'm attracted to men and women. Mm-hmm. And then I had this big crush on a kid. And I would write like, I think I'm gay. But Nathan looked really cute in his orange shirt today. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think I just was like, I guess not. Because like, I also have crushes on boys.
Yeah,
so I think I just was like, weird thought. I don't know. Probably not. Okay.
Yeah. We have talked to a lot of people who are like identify as bi on this podcast that are like, yeah, I would get one crush on the opposite sex and be like, oh, cured. You know?
Okay, phew. Oh,
then that was a passing thought. This is real. You know?
Yeah. Sucks to be gay, not me.
Yeah. Who else?
Yeah, for me, like growing up, speaking of American, I wasn't born in this country either. I came here when I was 12. But the one thing that I was like really obsessed with as a kid was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And, you know, there's a kid, the Blue Ranger, his name is Billy Cranston on the show. His real name is David Yost. Can I say his real name? And watching that, I mean, that was like the first time. And like here, like when I would watch like, you know, Ninja Turtle, I would always go for like the smart ones. Like the smart ones was like
were
the people that I was like Donatello's my boy, like Billy's my boy, but I was like, Billy's my boy? Like what's going on? There was something about the way that he presented himself on the show that was like, yes, he's the nerd, but there was something else that I was like, why am I like so into this?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know why. Like I was so like truly obsessed with that character. Like I'd
really?
Be like, I would like write stories about Billy, like what he does when he's like not saving the world, you know, when he's by himself. Like I was just like totally
what kind of things would he do?
Oh, like eat macaroni and cheese.
It was really just like slice of life.
Very slice of life.
Oh, man.
You know, very yeah. Just like he's just a normal dude who just happens to save the world, you know? Oh. And then like later on the actor who plays Billy, David Yost, is gay, and everything sort of like everything made sense.
Oh, I didn't know he was gay.
Yeah. And I was like, that's why. I knew it. I knew that he was like, we were psychically connected with each other.
Oh my God.
And like, he
God.
Was sending me like gay vibes through the airwaves. And
you know,
I was like,
I felt the same way about Ellen Page. I was like, who is that?
Yes.
Like,
and that's the thing. It's like, you know, we call it gaydar or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Us as queer people, like, we know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and you in Hollywood, you think we don't know?
Oh, we know. Watch we out. Know. Watch out. All right.
Senators, back at you.
Senators.
Tomboy senators.
Tomboy senator, tomcat senators.
Yeah. And
identify as a tomcat.
I do identify as strictly tomcat. Tomcat for tomcat.
Yeah, but with Billy, I was very obsessed with him, and I felt like I was the only one. I was like, oh, I know that there's something different about him. And then I met him a while ago, and I blacked out. I don't remember what we talked about. I literally don't remember.
Wow.
I follow him on Instagram, and every like he'll post, you know, Throwback Thursday pictures or whatever, and then people will write back like, "Oh, you were my first queer hero," like blah blah. And I was like, oh, I wasn't the only one. And it is, it's just a great, like, I'm like, yes, I'm in this family, this awesome family that just knows each other by a look or like by a vibe, you know?
How are the people around you reacting to this like obsession? Were people like, okay, that's enough, quiet down? Or were they like, oh, this is your favorite?
They probably thought it was weird. I don't know. Like I mean, here the kids like obsess over things all the time.
Yeah.
Like, and kids obsess over like the oddest things. To me, it wasn't like, I wasn't like obsessed with like, I don't know, a pebble or something like that. Like that was like more, it was more like okay to be obsessed with the Blue Ranger,
yeah,
I guess.
That's kind of like a masculine Trojan horse. To, like,
yeah, exactly,
with,
yeah.
Like,
I'm
just obsessed with Power Rangers and I want to support
more
him.
Right. You're obsessed with a pebble. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But I think when it came to like playtime or whatever and everyone wanted to be the Red Ranger or the Green Ranger, I was like totally down to be the Blue Ranger. People were like,
oh my God.
Okay, whatever.
Who do you want? Blue.
Imagine
blue,
your kid is writing about Power Rangers and you're like, I wonder what he's writing. And you take a look, and it's just like behind the mask, like fiction about like
erotica fan fiction.
I remember one time, yeah, that essentially that's what it is, except for me, the eroticism is how normal he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
he ate mac and cheese.
I like fetishize how normal queer people could be.
Yes, amen. Yeah. Like, yes, we need more.
I remember
of that.
I wrote something about him like cramming for a test and feeling the pressure of his parents wanting him to go to a good university. At a very early age when I like didn't really understand the concept of university, but I heard that word while I was watching Sailor Moon. And I was like, yes, this is something people care about. Yeah,
yeah,
and I just
totally.
Wrote. So
that I do feel like queer people and like we crave normalcy.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like, can we just not, I mean, I don't need another like break down like Boys Don't Cry movie when we're talking about queer representation. Like, I don't need to see anyone else attacked. Like,
well, yeah,
just have them, you know, eating you look mac at, like, and cheese.
Right. You look at the whole, like, especially when it comes to like Oscar bait movies.
Yes.
Of like, oh, I want to see like queer representation in film. And like, you watch two of them and you're like, I want to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the moral of this story is that it sucks being queer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it's hard.
Yeah. There needs to be like, just like I'm a normal person and I'm also other as well.
Yes.
You know?
Totally.
Okay. I agree. So people don't really like know about asexuality. Especially like when I was younger, it just like wasn't really like a thing that like every day you could hear that word somewhere. But I got really lucky because I had a slightly older friend who was asexual, and I was just like super supportive of that.
Oh, yep.
just like, that's great for you. And I did a bunch of research, and I did that thing that you do where you're like, you'll just like read the asexuality live journal community and be like, this is interesting. And I would definitely still be doing this if I wasn't asexual.
Yep. Yep. Totally. I was like the number one ally. I was like, we need to support trans people. And I'm on like a Reddit about like transitioning.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's interesting.
You just like, you just want to know what the point of view is.
Yeah.
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 You want to be well informed. Yeah.
Like, didn't know I was asexual, but like just still reading up on it all the time.
Yeah.
That was my real thing in the closet, is I was just like, no, just still doing a lot of research.
Yeah, yeah.
Also just like, you know how in high school I had a lot of other queer friends, but we didn't know that
God.
13 you don't know that that's why you're friends with those random people that you have nothing else in common with.
Yes.
Just like gradually developed over the years, when people would come out or discover themselves. But
yeah,
definitely
it's
like
that look almost.
We
like
know.
You're like,
yeah. We know.
I know. That's so
you, like, you like cluster.
Yeah.
And I think that like probably helped me not be in the closet, because I would like try to get my cues on like how straight people perform from them, and it was just wrong. So
the blind leading the blind truly.
I didn't have to like unlearn that much stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, when did you come out, or when did you start like saying?
So I figured it out in college. I went back in preparation for this and found the live journal post I made.
Yes. Oh my god, amazing!
Yes.
It was a locked post just for my friends, because I wasn't ready to be that out yet. And it was just like, I had a plant, because I was like, I had like a weird sleep schedule and like eat schedule, and like it just like the joke was that like I didn't need like food or water, I just like needed like an hour of sunlight a day, and then that was like I was just sustained myself like that forever, and it was just like a thing I used for whenever I did something weird. So it was like, I was officially a plant, and I guess I'll be alone forever. And then a friend commented like, you're not gonna be alone forever, you're gonna have a bunch of cats. And I was like, that's a great point. Cats are awesome.
Oh, that's their way of being like, I see you.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel you.
Like, hey, hold on. You love cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, I have a question about that. Because, I don't know that many asexual people, but I know a lot of them I have like one older like aunt figure in my life who's like, yeah, I'm asexual, aromantic, and she's just like, you do fear that maybe you'll be like like that's what other people are like, you might be alone forever, and she's like, no, you're not, like you have friends and you have community and stuff like that. Is that like how you feel? Is it like,
yeah, it's definitely like
as a plant.
Yeah. I'm not like afraid of being alone anymore because I realize that there's like no one's got that guarantee. That's
totally
kind of the thing. We're all taking that gamble.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly suited to dying alone any more than anyone else because sometimes horrible things happen. And also, you know, there's worse ways to die than alone. You could die surrounded by Komodo dragons or bears on a plane full of people.
On a plane full of Komodo dragons.
Plenty of nice ways to die alone, if you think about it.
Yeah, totally.
I've got friends and family, and I don't feel that there's a specific thing I'm lacking that I would have if I had a romantic relationship.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did you push yourself to have romantic relationships, and then you were like, this is not me?
Yeah, how I figured it out is there was like this one guy in college I liked. And like we got along really well, and he like seemed like the kind of guy I would be really into. And then we like made out, and it was like so boring. And I was like, okay, that's it. Like it. And I like people are like, well, you can't try one time or whatever. But like that's, I've got like this weird meat allergy, and I like threw up so many hamburgers before I like stopped having hamburgers. So I'm not a person easily deterred by one bad experience. If I want something, I like, if I do something once and I never do it again, like that's never,
I think, do you feel like queer people get you?
It's hard to know because like there's definitely like a lot of antagonism against asexuality that I see, and I think that's just like everyone feels protective of whatever group they're in. But like in real life, I have a lot of queer friends, so it's like I do feel like I connect much more easily with queer people than with straight people.
I kind of feel like the common thread is the feeling of like, this isn't right for me, but it seems like everyone else is doing this.
Like otherness is so bonding.
And that's like, I feel like that would be what would connect.
It's so interesting to me, though, that idea of like, as queer people, we like want to connect. We want to be part of the mainstream. That's always a part of our narrative, of that idea of like, let's try to be normal. And I would love it if we lived in a world where the normal was like trying to be queer first or other first, and then regressing back to normalcy or whatever.
Just like a way more diverse like starting point.
I think so.
Just like homo, like, or hetero. Homo. Great. So make that into a GIF, and I know you will. Not just like, our word, which we'll get to in a moment. Each episode has like a haunted word. Mm. Our word last week was straight acting, like what you might see on like dating apps or something like that. But it's just like always in reference to straighthood or. Great. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to our haunted word and corresponding sound effect. The haunted word this week is.
Whoa.
Ooh, storms are brewing. Tankini.
Tankini. Whoa.
Got your best.
Oh, wow. Here. I wonder how to fake out. It was like. Oh, God.
Tankini, for those of you who never tried to be a good little girl, is a swimsuit that is a two-piece but is really a one-piece. It has a very long, modest shirt-like body that goes into the bottoms. And you can wear it to church camp because they won't let you wear a two-piece. That's my truth.
So you've rocked a couple of tankinis
in your life. pretty much only tankini. Still, swimsuits are a nightmare for me. Yeah. I'm like, what is my body? What is legal? Yes. What do I want to show? Why am I hiding certain parts of it when I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you guys, swimsuits?
I had a lot of tankinis, actually. Yeah. A lot of Old Navy and Target tankinis.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And I had a tankini that had rainbow stripes. And then I went to an all-girls summer camp called Camp Hollywood Land. And it was in Griffith Park. So it's actually a great camp. It's a week long. And it's really affordable. So my parents were like, great, you're going to this camp that's 10 minutes away from our house. Because I grew up in Koreatown. And I remember being by the pool wearing my rainbow striped tankini. And one girl was like, oh, are you gay? And I was like, why? I was like, what? And she was like, because you're wearing a pride bathing suit. And I was like, what? Because I didn't know that the rainbow was a pride. God. And I was like, how did this happen? What is happening? And then she was like, because you're, and I was like, what? And she was like, don't you know that like rainbow means you're gay? And I was like,
oh my God.
And I like never wore that tankini.
If I could see like a flash of all the people that were like, you're gay. And I was like, nah. Like, yeah. You caused me so much torture. And now could be like, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I know. But I just like, she was talking about the bathing suit and the, you know what I mean? Like she didn't even know what she was telling me, you know? And I was like, how did it, what did it mean?
Yeah.
And it was just because she was like, yeah, don't you know? And I was like, and then I went home and was like, rainbow gay. And like, suddenly like tried to figure it out. And I was like, oh, okay, like the rainbow means gay. Got it.
Your
got
family it. Was like, Anna was on the computer.
Look at the search history.
Rainbow gay
rainbow
images.
Gay.
Yeah.
Just like that, like with those kinds of kids, like growing up, and with this, like, just being a real ally. Like, whenever gay stuff came up, I was like, hey, someone in my family is gay. It was like my line that I was always used because my uncle was gay. And that was like truly the only gay person I saw for so long.
Yeah.
And he would come like with his roommates. Like our nasty family was like, this is Rick's roommate here at Christmas. You know? It was just like, that's what happens when you're older. You bring your roommates everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then when I first moved schools, the bully fucking got me. I was like, hey, someone in my family's gay. And he went, yeah, you.
Whoa. Were you totally? Did you come?
He got
did you have
me.
A comeback at all?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I know. We got so many times.
I was crumpled.
It's that feeling. Oh, that feeling of like someone else taking your moment from you.
Yes.
You're like, you're this, aren't you? And you're like, no, that's mine. When I'm ready, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. And they don't even realize what they're doing. Because I don't actually think that, like, I don't think that girl actually thought I was gay. You know what I mean? She just was kind of making fun of me for how, like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
and you're like, you don't know what you're doing. And I, like, that's just the crazy thing is they have no idea.
Yeah. When you're young, you're like learning these categories. So you're like, I know, I have this piece of knowledge. Like, this category looks like this. And you're like, no!
Like, and also, like, there's just the term, like that word gay is such a weird thing with kids. They don't know what that means, really. I mean, I used to be a nanny for a long time, and the kid that I used to nanny for was obsessed with Star Wars, the original, like, episode one, you know? And, like, he...
Wait, episode one that, or that the first one?
No, yeah. Episode
okay,
one.
Because that like, is different, and I've never
for
seen
sure,
the movie.
For sure. But he loved, because, you know, I showed him all of the Star Wars one, and he was somehow just obsessed with The Phantom Menace, and it was his favorite. And he was just talking about, like, he's like, yeah, Jedis can't fall. That's a big thing in the narrative, is that, like... whatever Darth Vader was, I don't fucking care.
wow, Steve.
Like fell in love.
Anakin?
Thank you. Anakin Skywalker falls in love with Natalie Portman. Yeah. And so.
That's her name and everything.
Yeah. She's just her and everything. And Joe, the kid that I used to nanny for, was like, it would be a lot easier if Jedis were gay. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, Jedis can't fall in love or else, like, you know, everything bad will happen. He's like, if Jedis are gay, then they won't fall in love. I'm like, oh. What does that
that took a turn
mean?
And, I was really on board with his plan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, Jedi's great. Yeah, gay Jedi's great. Yes, yeah. We all have the Force.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, gay people can't love. Like, they're incapable of love. And I was like, whoa, you need to unlearn a lot of stuff,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah. You're lucky I'm here.
Yeah.
You don't you bring a whip when you sit?
Yeah, but only
Or just like a really loud fan.
Yeah,
it's like
simply
let me
fan.
Teach you. Whack. Yeah, so that's it's just like these the kids don't know. Yeah. We didn't know, you know.
Yeah, truly.
We had to educate ourselves.
Totally.
Too, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. I feel like I grew up, and maybe this was everywhere, but just in a tiny kind of like construction worker farm town where it was just like so unbelievably homophobic was like par for the course.
That's the norm.
That's the
though.
90s, that's, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, just like everything was gay.
Yeah.
And you're like, great, cool. So the teacher assigning us homework is gay. And I am also gay. That's bad. You know, like just doing math.
And that makes me so excited for youth, and I feel like I sound like such an old person being like, I'm so excited for this generation.
You float away.
I know. I'm like, oh, you young queers, you're gonna do great. But I really do. I'm like, oh gosh, like just seeing young queer folks is so exciting for me.
Yeah, totally. And like, especially on a gender scale, there was like a study saying like over half of youth polled identify as non-binary.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
But it's, again, it's like now, you know, where we are right now politically fucking sucks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think socially, we are a lot more informed. We live in the internet age, which is, you know, for better or worse, at least it provides information to everyone. They're more informed. Whereas for us growing up, it was a lot harder to get that information. Like, you know, what would we have been like if we grew up with the internet? We would have, I mean, you did research Rainbow.
Yeah, and you're like, I grew up with the internet. Yeah.
Oh, okay, me, I'm 500 years old, so.
So I grew up in a very liberal town. So
yeah, where'd you grow up?
I'm sorry. Belmont, Massachusetts.
Oh,
so.
Cool, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was in the GSA because I was an ally. obviously. secretly just an A. and that was nice. And it was, like, still tough to figure it out because it would I still had this thing in the back of my head being like, but maybe I'm just straight and I'll just meet a guy and I'll meet the first attractive man I've ever met. Part of my mind is still like, maybe there's one out there.
Yes,
the one handsome man or a woman. At least with women, I'm like, well, they're all pretty and I just want to be like friends with them. Like, I feel like I like women too much to date them.
interesting.
I know I'm not attracted to women, but like part of me is like, well, good, because that would be like a whole fucking thing. But with dudes, I'm like, whoof.
Yeah. You're like, I don't even like you as a person now.
I don't want to be your friend at all.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
That's a whole stuff to get into.
Well, being such an internet person growing up, did you find like a lot of answers about ace and identity, and I don't know, is there like a great online community for asexual people?
There is an online community, which is cool. I never connected to the online community, but it did have like a bunch of information, which was like super helpful, and it was helpful just to know that it was like a thing. Like, that's the most important. It's an identity that people naysayers talk about it being like this new thing, but like that's because like it couldn't exist before the internet, because before then people just thought, oh, I'm just the one person in the world who feels this way.
Totally.
And it's not like you would go out and find another asexual to be asexual with, because that there's no activity for that. So it needed people to be like, I feel this way, and for someone else to find that and be like, I also feel that way. Same hat.
Yeah.
That fucking meme with like two guys waving and they're like, we got the same hat on.
Yeah.
We all learned something. Yeah, that's what they're talking about. it's the exact same Todd Chavez yellow beanie from BoJack Horseman. Yes. so it was it was very helpful to have the internet, because I think otherwise I would have just like dated a bunch of people that I didn't like and just be like, weird that I'm just mean.
Yeah, or something's wrong with me.
Right, they're being nice to me and it annoys me that they want my attention.
Totally. Do you feel like
toxic?
And not to make you the like only spokesperson for all bisexual people.
No, I am. Why I'm on this panel.
Absolutely what I am. No, but do you feel like people like what is like the pushback that you get when you say that you're asexual, or what do you feel like is coming from a very like Christian background, saying I'm gay. There was one, people were like, okay, were you sexually abused? Or like, is there something like perverted or wrong with you? And these were all things that I needed to shed and be like, no, this is just me and who I am at my core, and like get in touch with that. What is like the asexual version of that?
I've been lucky that like in real life, I haven't gotten that kind of like real hostile reaction, which has been largely about because I just wouldn't tell people. that was a big part in avoiding negative pushback, is just never telling anyone. And then last year I wrote an article about being asexual, so I was like, well, I guess now people know.
Where's that article? What is
it? It's on Vox. I wrote about the history of asexuality in television, so it's a little bit about me, but it's mostly a factual list.
Cool. Okay.
Just to be very clear, some people were like, you don't need to be dumb people online, because people are always dumb online. Or like, you know, you don't need to make like stuff about yourself. And I'm like, it's literally, all of this is true. All of this aired on TV on the dates I specify. Whatever. In real life, I've mostly just gotten stuff where people are like, well, you'll probably like change your mind, or you haven't met the right person, or they'll be like, well, I mean, like, have you ever felt any human connection? And I'll be like, yes, I'm alive.
That's an insulting question.
Like the dying alone thing. Like, there's like insulting questions when you like think about it and you're like, hey, view me as a little less human now. That's neat.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
Totally.
You know, like some sort of, like if I don't want to date someone, that means that I'd like also stab them.
Exactly.
No, I like you. I just don't want to touch your face. I don't. What do people do?
There's a lot of face touching.
You all touching each other's faces out there? Yeah. What's going down? No, I feel like we all definitely identify with like, oh, this might just be a phase, or you haven't met the right person as an answer to... me saying something true about myself.
And I feel like society is probably like capitalist, heteronormative, patriarchal society is like, you can't be asexual because then you won't want to spend money on things to make yourself attracted to someone, and then our whole economy will collapse.
Yep.
And you're like, it's too like,
but
comfortable.
What will you buy on Valentine's Day?
How will I make you hate yourself and sell you things?
You can't send a card to yourself.
No, but you're totally right. Yeah. It's that, like, how does that, the man, communicate to someone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like us, even. You know, there's no way. It's like awkward dad trying to talk to a child that's just, like, not interested in dad, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, like, well, but how, but wait a second, but my life, and that's where that condescension comes in of like, well, I live my life and I can't possibly imagine living my life your way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it's confusing, where it's like, dude, it's not your life.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Like, I feel like, know? I was in college, my college sketch comedy group, and I was like, hey, why don't we make some, you know, queer couples in our sketches. And they're like, I just feel like it'll be really distracting if, like, the thing
I've gotten that before.
If, like, the story isn't about them being gay. And I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be okay.
We get some pushback that's like, why are you gay in every sketch? And it's like, why are you only paying attention?
Yeah.
That the sketch is about an alligator, like, chewing someone's leg off and yelling YOLO.
I know,
like, why are you only paying attention to that?
Yeah.
Literally, wake up. When you said awkward dad, it reminded me of my dad once trying to have a conversation with me while lotioning his legs at the kitchen table.
How's
school? And I was just like, don't talk to me.
That's horrible.
Just a little flash that I had. Okay. We have some questions. This is my favorite part of the entire show. We have user submitted questions from people all around the world, very international, with questions for us, for our panel. So here's our first one. How do you navigate the sexually driven lifestyle of the gay world when you're not all that interested in sex?
Well, I think, like, the gay lifestyle is, I mean, like, being gay doesn't it's not tied in, it's exclusively tied into what we're attracted to, but it's not sex.
Yeah.
Gay culture is a culture. It's outside of just sex. So there's tons of ways to interact in the gay culture without even talking about sex at all or engaging in it.
Totally.
Or, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, it's.
Yeah, I feel like. I do feel like the like very like rampant in your face sexuality of that some people like see as like gay culture probably comes from repression and being like, I haven't been able to show this anywhere. And now, you know what? I'm going to fucking show it here on the street. Like, you know, it's like a very like taking back your space. But I do agree that not everything gay needs to be like a hypersexual club night.
Right.
Like it would be great to have more like gay park days like we do around Pride.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like my queer community is friendship based rather than like sexual or relationship based. So like I have so many more queer friends than I have had partners. So I feel like finding a queer social circle is really helpful to making it feel like, oh, this is part of my life and these are just people I hang out with and things we do, and it's not just like, who can I bang tonight?
Exactly.
Also, the thing too with like queer, gay, other culture is that it's bleeding into the mainstream now. Like, you know, you have, we have a vocabulary, we have a vernacular, and like
we have even Young Sheldon.
Or the pinnacle of gay culture is within Young Sheldon. But I think, I mean, like the fact that heterosexual people are engaging in gay culture is like, yes, we are taking over.
Yeah,
we are taking over.
So you like it when a bachelorette party pours into the gay bar that you're at with your friends? You're saying that you like
There's limits. Yeah. But in terms of education and like, no, I mean, like, I don't have a problem with like bachelorettes pouring into a gay bar if they respect the space and understand the history. Yeah.
Totally.
I don't have a problem with people who identify as heterosexuals doing drag if they understand and respect the culture. I don't have a problem with like straight women saying yas queen if they understand and respect the culture.
Totally.
But I think there's a responsibility there.
Definitely.
You know?
And I think it's so important to keep affirming that sexuality is not inherently linked to sex, having sex.
Yes.
Your sexuality is valid and legitimate whether or not you have sex, or I mean, even if you're even if you're not asexual, your sexuality exists.
You might want to wait a while into a relationship.
I came out of the closet 2 years before I even kissed someone. I was just like, I know I'm gay.
Exactly.
Just like, but yeah, it is a little bit scary when you're like, I don't know if I have the proof for this yet. But
right, and you're like, you don't need proof. You don't need to prove that to anyone. Yeah.
I also, I think part of the idea that's out there that gay culture is hyposexualized is because heterosexual sexuality is so normalized. And that's the thing, is like,
that's a great point. I was
working with a writer on something, with another writer, and they were like, well, if we mention that this character, like, we agree that this character is like gay, but we want to bring that up in an organic way. And I had to be like, the other characters have mentioned that they're straight several times, and you don't see that because whenever you don't realize that every time they mention a wife, when a man mentions a wife, he's being like, I have sex with women.
Totally.
It's totally invisible to them. Like, no one thinks that it's like in your face straight culture if, you know, a woman walks down the street and like, in a dress, but if a man does it, suddenly it's like very in your face, and it's not a different thing. It's not more sexual. It's just that heterosexual sex is like totally invisible to us. Absolutely. Yeah. They kiss in children's movies.
Yes.
And something has to be like, it used to be like it was very scandalous for like two men or two women to kiss, but it's like you show straight people doing those
all the time.
Exactly.
All the time.
Yeah, I feel like it's the same thing with, you know, racial and ethnic inclusion. Like, there'll be an all white cast, and you're like, there's one black person and one Asian person in this film. Like, it's a diversity film. And you're like, you're not seeing everybody else is white. Like,
yeah totally. You know what is crazy? I think about like stuff like Pride or like all of these like queer spaces kind of being almost like co-opted by straight people. And I think the payoff is more representation, which I guess is worth it. But it's still so jarring to live in a time where, like, there's, like, a rainbow can of, like, Sprite. You know what I mean? Like, like Bank of America presents Pride Week. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, that's all. It's a capitalist.
And I feel like the capitalistic move has to happen first for it to feel normal, because that's how it ends up on our screen.
Ooh, isn't that so sad, though? It's like, capitalism says it's okay to not hate and villainize queer people, so you stop doing it, guys.
Yeah.
And people would be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
more
get
Sprite,
in your truck.
Please.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just so eerie. I had a friend who was just like raging at Pride last year, because with every like label or brand or something, she was just so upset. And I was like, this is dark.
But like, you're like, I don't want a rainbow Sprite. I want like trans people to not be murdered. You're like, that's what I don't. Yeah. I don't need.
Where's that can? Huh?
Yeah. I'm like, that's what I want. Yeah. So I don't care.
I want like protections, like human dignity and protections.
Yeah.
Great. That was question number one.
Right. Good.
Great. Question number two. What do you think the biggest misconception about insert your like sexual orientation or gender identity here is? I'll start. I feel like the biggest misconception about non-binary people is, and I feel like I've felt this myself, is like that you're half trans, or that you're not like quite trans. You're like trans light, or like a little bit of trans.
Diet trans?
Yeah, diet trans. presented by Wells Fargo. And I feel like that's a big misconception. Is it's like, pick a gender and that would be easier. And it's like, great. Well, the point is that I don't feel either one. I feel all of the dysphoria, but with none of the answers and like track forward.
When it comes to like identifying as non-binary, in terms of telling people this in a casual way, how, like, what is that conversation?
Yeah, I feel like it's either correcting someone's pronouns if they use she, but sometimes I'm just like, who cares? Like, it really is just like, I don't know this person very well, who cares? Or like, maybe word will get out, or I don't know. I just recently put they on my Instagram, and I was like, writhing in my bedroom, like, this is so stupid. I feel like it's important. But I do feel like I fucking already came out of the closet. Like, and there's just like another closet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, this is a bigger closet.
It's a sub closet.
Yeah. A very wealthy woman lived here before.
How many people like shame you for making them work hard to understand your identity again? They're like, wait a minute, I already accepted you weren't straight. Now I got to rethink this too. And you're like, it's okay. You will live.
Yeah, you'll learn.
What you're feeling,
fine.
I felt much worse. You can deal with it. Like,
It's very hard. I have very conservative Christian parents, so it's like they were like, we just caught our breath. They're like truly bending over, like, we just figured out the gay thing. And you want what? And I like sprint away. My brother is also queer, so that's nice. So they have like so many gay kids. But yeah, I do feel like I'm just like, gear up. Gear up, mom. Misconceptions.
I feel like I identify as queer because the word bisexual feels really limiting to me. It feels like it looks at, gender as a binary, and I don't believe that. So queer to me is like attracted to whatever, anyone, you know, however they identify. But I mostly have been in relationships with men. And something I've struggled with is feeling like that erases my queerness. And I recently had a conversation with my person, my man, I don't know what I had. And I was trying to explain, I was like, the word boyfriend feels too femme for me. The word boyfriend feels too heteronormative, and I don't know what word to use that feels like it fits right on me. So I feel like in queerness and whatever, like you're constantly trying to figure out what feels right and what fits for you and your identity. And he was like, wait, I don't understand. Is it because like you're ashamed of me? You don't want to be seen? Like you don't want? And I was like, no, this is nothing to do with you. I'm like, I was like, this is me trying to figure out how my queerness fits into a heterosexual relationship.
Yes.
And what that means. And I was like, I don't know if that means. And I told him, I was like, I don't know if I can be in a monogamous relationship with a man for the rest of my life. And he was like, what? I don't know. And I was like, I don't want to marry you and then have you like run away in 20 years with someone you met at a grocery
this
store.
This guy sounds like a monster.
Yeah. I mean, and I was like, I don't want that either. Left, that's why I'm bringing this up now. Like I'm telling you, I was like, yeah, I don't, that's not going to happen.
Which grocery store?
Yeah. I was like, I mean, maybe if I meet some lady at a Whole Foods and she, I don't know, but like, it's not going to happen because I didn't come to terms with my sexuality.
Right.
But so like things I deal with is like het male projections like on my queerness and like societal projections on my queerness and me constantly having to be like, hey.
Yes.
This is not about your stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what feels right for me.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any suggestions, somehow the word partner also doesn't feel right because as someone that in some ways is straight presenting, I try to be really mindful of like what language I use because I think it's a privilege not to like exit my house and feel unsafe and you know, like I could use the word husband and just navigate spaces as a straight person and not feel like in danger. So I'm like, oh, partner, I don't know if that's my word to use right now.
Interesting. My partner calls me her sweetie.
Oh, I like that.
This is my sweetie.
And okay, I like that.
Oh,
sweetie.
I love it. Yeah.
I love sweetie.
Sweetie's just
okay.
Perfect.
Sweetie's good.
You can borrow it.
Well, hey,
she's gonna kill me.
Comment below. Other ideas. Yeah.
It's a straight up Mad Libs. You know, what I mean? Really. My candle. Yeah. Skeleton.
I know. Yeah, I do like that part of when you are not in the mainstream, you have to like create your own lexicon terms and stuff, and it feels like a lot of work and it feels alienating and like an uphill battle, but it is really beautiful that we're able to be like, that doesn't work for me, like a la carte, what works for me
for sure.
Like,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
beautiful.
The cool thing is that we have blueprints in which to live our lives, but ultimately we do whatever we want to do, you know, what feels right for us, you know. I identify as queer. The term gay to me feels not correct. I like the term queer feels a little bit more like politically charged to me than like just gay. And also, I don't think that I identify as a gay man. But
do you like the politically charged?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah.
This is a political roundtable once again.
Yeah.
And I think for me too that there's this like weird, there's that like weird misconception in like the queer men community of that like presenting of like mask versus femme and that whole like rigid like
weird
binary of like
I'm only a top.
Yeah. Like, of like this and that or the
grow
you must
up.
Be this or that and it's like can I just be like fluid in in every single way imaginable? Like I dig that.
Yeah.
Like I don't like identifying myself as a gay man because by saying gay, people have already constructed an entire bio for me that I don't adhere to.
Totally.
Queer feels a little more forgiving that way. Yeah.
And I like to be in community with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind
of
like, I'm gay. Goodbye. Anybody else.
Yep.
It's like, no, we are here. We're like a queer community, which includes all LGBTQIA.
It's the other.
Plus, everything.
Yeah.
Think a misconception that I bump into a lot is this idea that like being asexual is like, like heterosexuality light, like we're like non-practicing straight people. I think it comes from the queer community feeling like we're not queer enough, but I think it also comes from straight people being like, oh, so you're not like gay.
Yeah.
Like you like us and you just don't do anything. And it's not. It's, you know, like there's apples and oranges and I'm like a tomato. It's like just like a different thing.
You're a plant, you're a tomato.
It's a savory.
Yeah. it's just, it's its own little thing. And I mean, obviously, you all have experience with that where you talk to someone and they're like, oh, you're this. And it's like, no, that's not what I just said. So that's the big one.
You do you feel like a little bit of a light up of like straight privilege, straight passing when you talk to some people and you're like, I'm asexual. And they're like, oh, good. Like, you're not gay.
It's more just like sometimes I'll like, I won't get pushback in a way where I was like, I bet I'd get pushback from you if I had said something else. That weird little privilege where you're like, this doesn't feel nice.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm still lucky here.
How important is it to you to kind of constantly come out on a daily basis? Like if you're having a question or a conversation with someone, they're like, oh, like, are you dating anyone? Like, would you just be like, no? Or is that, do you think it's important for you to be like, oh, I'm actually asexual?
I'm not that like actively out, which is, I would like to be. It's just that because you kind of have to like explain your sexuality, I'm like, I just don't really want to explain my whole deal and then have to like defend myself.
Like self-pronouncing. It's like
people.
The pronoun thing. You're like, I just don't have the energy to do that.
I have written an article about being asexual that for a while was like my pinned tweet, and like it comes up if you Google me. Like,
just Google.
I'm no longer like hiding, and I will tell people, and I will do things like this. But usually, if people are like, are you dating anyone? I'm like, don't be ridiculous. And,
and they're like, why?
No.
What do you mean?
I just sort of breeze past it and be like, no. I'll act like they're the weird one.
Yeah.
But I won't. I won't go out of my way to come out usually. Unless I'm drunk, and then I'll like just like want to sit someone down and be like, hey, have I like talked to you about my deal? That's fun. That's a fun thing to do.
Who were some of the asexual people in your article? I'm sure people should go and read it, but I'm so curious about like a couple of characters.
It's a short list. Okay, so it's let's see if I can remember all of them. There was Craig Kilborn had a character, Sebastian Asexual Icon. That was like a late night sketch character.
Oh, God.
Which is has obvious just. They clearly do not know that asexuality is like an actual thing, and they like just saw the word and was like, that's funny. So like it's not offensive because it's clearly not like based in anything. It's just like nonsense. But they'll also be like some jokes that are like top tier like shitpost asexual jokes that are like, in my opinion, the most erotic film of all time is Tron. And it's like, yep, that's it's a great bit. okay, so there's that. There was there's like an Australian soap opera called Second Street or something like that.
Oh, you went international to make this list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
cast a wide
a global search.
Yeah.
There was a character on an ABC family show called Camp named Poppy. She came out and it's like a 1 minute scene. And I like watched just that 1 minute and like cried, and then that was it. I never watched the show.
Wow.
There's various from Game of Thrones.
Ooh, yeah.
A lot of people watch that show, and I feel like they just gloss past that. There's Todd from BoJack Horseman.
Ooh, yeah.
There's Raphael from Shadowhunters, which is he's a vampire, which is like pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I was like, there's not a lot, but like we got a cool vampire. And there was an episode of House that had an asexual patient and his wife, who was also asexual. And then like the twist was that neither of them were, and he just had a brain tumor. And they cured his asexuality with a brain surgery, which is a great only asexual storyline to ever appear on network TV.
Wow. Fantasy, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it seems like there's a lot of opportunity for representation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So Game of Thrones is ending. Shadowhunters was canceled. We got BoJack Horseman, but like, showrunners, please hire me.
Right.
Like, oh my god.
More asexual characters. It's we can do a lot of stuff. I know we can't get in love triangles, but come on.
Yeah.
Oh, and The U.S. remake of Sirens had a really great asexual character called who had nickname was Voodoo because they all it was about EMTs and they all had nicknames, but that was really good. Yep. That was she
I
had, like
Sirens actually. It's that great. Was a really cool character.
Yeah.
Great. Well, yes. You know what? There was another.
There's one really
that's
important
the
question.
Full list
one
ever.
Really important.
No,
really important one.
Just a question only to me, and it says, "Why does Barack Obama follow you on Twitter?" I early on followed Barack Obama, and I'm pretty sure an intern or something just went in and followed everyone back.
And you're friends with Barack, aren't
we
you?
We summer together,
yeah,
yes.
There we go.
Okay.
But like, the truth comes out. The truth comes
people
out.
People ask me that quite a lot, and I am very proud of it. I got locked out of my Twitter for like a year because I drunkenly changed my password in Amsterdam.
No.
And I fought tooth and nail to get it back because I'm not losing that Barack Obama follow. Yeah. You can take it out of my cold, dead hands.
Have you posted about Barack Obama following you, or did someone just go and look at all of your followers and find him?
People just see. Yeah, people like look at my followers.
That's a good fan base.
I think it's like if you're following someone and you see who someone's following,
oh,
it
okay.
like shoots them to the top.
Got it.
So it's like,
they're
but
like,
it is
wait,
funny.
I follow Barack Obama and Barack Obama follows you?
Allie? Yeah, exactly. A comedy
gotta
writer?
Gotta type this in, figure this out. Let's get to the bottom of this.
You should block all of your other followers so that he's the only one.
Yeah. That would be
and then people
I
would be
block
like,
him.
You'll want to follow us.
Yeah, that'll show me.
He'll tweet back and be like, Allie, what gives?
Oh,
imagine
nightmare.
Needing to block a president
yeah.
on Twitter.
Oh, God,
that would be ridiculous.
Allowed on Twitter, president?
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you so much
thank
to my
you.
Amazing
thanks for
guests.
Having us.
This was a fantastic discussion. Yeah, subscribe. If you are not watching this on Dropout, you're watching this on the YouTube channel CH2, know that it came out on Dropout over a week ago.
Ooh.
And there's also a Discord channel that you can chat in, ask questions, and just generally hang out. The Tales from the Closet Discord channel is so sweet. I love you guys.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.